And we shall read in the 32nd chapter and verse 17, and I want you to note the words very, very carefully. It says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." May God bless the reading of that most precious and of those most sublime words. Listen to them now very carefully once again, if you will. "And the work of righteousness." Now, I should like to say without any further delay that the speaker firmly believes that the work of righteousness is nothing less than the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The work that He accomplished when He became the sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice for guilt and for sin. You see, after all, it was a work of righteousness. Now, if we were to think of that word righteousness, you see, in nature, none of us possess righteousness, because if you turn to the third chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Romans, you would there read amongst the other indictments. You begin in the 9th verse and read that right on through verse 23. That's Romans 3, 9 right through verses 23. You come across this amazing statement: "There is none righteous, no, not one." And then too, I should like to remind you, and I think it's very, very necessary in these days, and because man's approach to God has ever and always been a wrong approach, and so the Word of God would seek to correct that. You see, if you were to turn to the Epistle of Titus and the very third chapter and about verse 5, you would read this amazing statement: "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, there's a negative that you ought by all manner of means to heed. And you see, it's contrary to human reasoning, to human nature, to human thinking, as it is for water to run uphill. Man naturally thinks that he can work out his own salvation. He can work out a righteousness that would be acceptable to God and give him a place in God's sight, a favor or a standing there. But you see, Paul, in writing this pastoral letter to his son in faith, Timothy, says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us." And then he goes on further to say, "by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." And then, too, I should like to further remind you that in the prophecy of Isaiah, and you wouldn't even need to go out of that book, and you know, we so often think of this and speak of it and point out to our hearers that Isaiah has been well called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament. So in the 64th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, this is what he has to say now of us, of us all, but we are all, that would be 64 and verse 6, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Now, I'm sure those words are not very flattering, are they? You see, the prophet Isaiah describes us in our process as just like the leaves. Although we differ in this respect, we do not become more beautiful as we fade. Our beauty fades away, and we sometimes say, "Youth and beauty flee away," and so on. However, he says, "all our righteousnesses," that is to say, our right acts. That would mean any attempt for anyone to try and gain God's favor on the basis of human merit or works. This is how God looks down upon us and how He sees our effort as men and women, or even boys and girls in the flesh. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. But we're going to say more about it a little later by the help of our God. Meantime, own in His presence that you're an unrighteous person, and that you need a righteousness that can only be provided by God Himself. Believe on Him, receive Him and he'll be made unto you righteousness right today.